You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I'm not sure pulling the statues down is the right thing if we now don't get the lessons to understand how we can learn from those things so we don't repeat those mistakes of the past. You know, they say history, if not studied, we will often repeat it.
June 22nd, 2020. The voice you were hearing, Ben Crump. Ben Crump is the attorney for George Floyd's family. George Floyd, the man held down by a Minneapolis police officer as he continued to say, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," and now representing the family in their case against the city of Seattle and in other events. But Ben Crump, a black attorney out of Houston, says, "We got to stop pulling down these Confederate monuments. I don't think it's going to do anything, and I think we're going to forget history, and there's some value to those." He's not the only black American speaking out like that. Even Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot says we have things to learn from these monuments. We shouldn't just be tearing them down. We're going to get into that in more detail a little bit later. Also coming up, leftists are planning to use the John Bolton book to once again try to impeach and convict President Trump and remove him from office. And they're looking at a timeline. They really can't wait till November when the election's underway. Of course, if they have to, they will. And, of course, he wins re-election, which I think for sure he will. They will still push forward with the impeachment. And you're looking at the John Bolton book as some of their latest ammunition. We had another shooting reported last night in the Seattle's CHOP zone. You know, one of those no-police zones. The Seattle location, where they have now taken over, put up barricades with the help of Seattle Public Works Department, concrete barriers, and police have trouble getting into the area. The other night, there were two shot. One ended up being dead. Police could not get into the scene. As they're trying to get in, they're pushed back by an angry crowd. Police had to retreat, and it turned out that supposedly some of the CHOP medics took the two men to the hospital. One was dead. And then another shooting last night. This is what we're getting in the Festival of Love, the Summer of Love, as the mayor of Seattle called it. Nothing more than a street party. It's going to get worse before it gets better. That deadly weekend in Seattle. And, of course, we did have one in Chicago. 11 killed in Chicago, 67 wounded. Deaths including a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old girl. All of those in Chicago. And when it goes back to the Seattle shootings, you know what they're trying to say now? They are trying. One council member says, "Well, you know who's really coming in and doing the shooting? It would be right-wingers, extreme right-wing people getting their way into the CHOP zone. They're the ones carrying out the shooting." She has no validation, no evidence. It just sounds good. So why not blame the right? And, of course, the rally by President Trump this last weekend in Tulsa did not have the big numbers that they were predicting. And, in fact, they did not even completely fill the 19,000-person capacity. There were many lined up outside. They estimate that 6,700 actually went in, and that included some of the Trump campaign staff. And, of course, who's to blame? Anyone to blame, or is Trump beginning to lose steam? He's not beginning to lose steam. The left, even AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, claiming TikTok users, teenagers, flooded the Trump campaign as if they were going to be there. And that's how they got those numbers, 500,000 plus. Trump campaign says, "We're not fooled by those numbers. They mean nothing. You can still come, first serve." Some are saying the media scared them away about the coronavirus. Does it really make any difference? Well, we have another Trump campaign event coming up tomorrow night in Arizona. And President Trump is saying and warning this Democrat push for mail-in ballots in the 2020 election would lead to millions of mail-in ballots printed by foreign countries. He said it will be the scandal of our times. I have no doubt that could certainly happen. And for all the leftists who are concerned about foreign interference, are they at all concerned about mail-in ballots coming from foreign countries, filtering across our nation as if they came direct from your state house? No, they're not worried about that. They don't care as long as they can win. We got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And, of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Smokes that lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Trump is guilty. They found him guilty. The House proved him guilty, but they weren't prepared to do anything about it. And so we had the evidence to prove it. We did prove it. We do need, I think, to expose the length and breadth of this president's depravity and how much it is endangering the country. So those facts are going to need to come out, and we are discussing with the Speaker and my fellow chairs just how to do that.
That is Adam Schiff, Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, NBC Meet the Press, saying we have proved before that Trump was guilty in our impeachment. We did. We proved it. We got the vote through the House, went to the Senate, and then, of course, nothing was done. Impeached but not convicted. Keep in mind, the House files the impeachment proceeding, and if they decide to vote for impeachment, then it goes to the Senate for the, quote, trial. And, of course, nothing happened in the Senate. Now, the House controlled by Democrats, Senate controlled by Republicans. That aside, I did tell you after that came back that they were not going to proceed. Watch, they'll try to do it again. They're not going to go quietly into the night. They'll look for something else. They've been looking behind every door, under every rock. Anything they can find is there a scrap of anything we can use to get Donald Trump out of office even before the election? And if we have to start it before the election and it doesn't work and he wins election, we will push forward after the election. Well, here comes John Bolton with his new book. Bolton, of course, had been working as a national security advisor under Trump until Trump said, no, you don't work out so good. You're gone. We have coming up later this hour, Fred Flights, President CEO of the Center for Security Policy. Fred Flights was a close ally of Bolton. And in fact, he had pushed for John Bolton to get the job, actually Secretary of State at one point. And then he was happy, of course, when Bolton was tapped to become National Security Advisor. And Flights worked under him briefly. He was a good friend of him. He worked under him briefly, and then he didn't. Fred Flight just agreed to come on the air and talk about the Bolton book, his opinion of Bolton, and what's going on now. The left is looking at the Bolton book as a chance to destroy Donald Trump. The book titled The Room Where It Happened, supposedly on the newsstands and bookstores available tomorrow. Now, last week we read you some excerpts, and I took the excerpts as they were compiled by CNN and NNN because I thought if anybody found anything really damning inside that book, let's go to the left and see what they found. It was pretty much nothing, and nothing substantiated, nothing questioned. It's strictly his opinion. If you remember, Trey Gowdy, former member of Congress overseeing some of those committees, said, look, here's Bolton sitting in his pajamas in his basement, pecking away at his computer, writing anything he wanted, and no one could challenge him. If he had anything to say, he should have come before members of Congress and answered questions so we could get specifics. But he didn't want to do that. And in fact, Bolton being accused of holding back salacious material just for his book. In his department when he was there, numerous leaks came out of his agency. Numerous leaks, but not the material that's in the book, because it just, that stuff, he apparently held back. That's at least the view. But John Bolton clearly expressing that he thinks Trump is a loose cannon. He did an interview with ABC's Martha Raddatz. And in the process, she asked a question, and I think you want to hear the response.
You described the president as erratic, foolish, behaved irrationally, bizarrely. You can't leave him alone for a minute.
I don't think he's fit for office. I don't think he has the competence to carry out the job. There really isn't any guiding principle that I was able to discern other than what's good for Donald Trump's reelection.
And that is what they're focusing on now. Everything about Donald Trump from the day he got in was to win reelection. I'm going to put that argument aside for just a moment and ask you, is there any politician at all that's been elected that the day they're elected, they don't already start considering, how can I get reelected? I will guarantee you every member of Congress does, because they come up every 2 years. They got to worry about it immediately. If they're a mayor of a city or the president, they got 4 years. But do they then start thinking, what do we do to maintain this? How do we build on this momentum we've got now? Build a war chest and be ready to go forward the next time around. But on the other side of that question, does that mean everything they do is going to work to ensure reelection? Maybe the one you could point out and clearly say, no, this guy did, that'd be LBJ. LBJ, a master politician. And Lyndon Baines Johnson, when he decided to take to the airways and say, I will not run for reelection. I will not do that. I will not accept it. If the party drafts me, and of course he went in after Kennedy assassination, and with the Vietnam War underway, that President Johnson said, I'm not going to go forward. I'm going to try to deal with the Vietnam War the best I can and without concern about the election. If you want to look at that, well, there are a lot of ways to look at that basic history, but if you put that spin on it, that'd be the one guy and a president's position who said, I'm no longer worried about what happens. And actually, I guess you could say the same thing about Obama. Any president who's had 8 years because they can't go another term, do they really care about what happens? They can't do anything for their reelection. They can be concerned about the party and maybe a successor coming from their side of the aisle. But here's Adam Schiff again, House Intel Committee Chairman, Democrat of California, on Sunday's NBC's Meet the Press. And he was asked, you know, basically, by Chuck Todd, well, can you guys really wait to take the information you got in the Bolton book and anything else you can uncover? Can you really wait to delay the new impeachment? Look where we are. We are in June. November is coming. Listen, please.
I don't think we should wait if we conclude that there are important things that he says that need to be exposed to the public. The public needs to know exactly what they have in this president. A lot of it is not a surprise, but at the same time, exposure of this president's misconduct is the best way to protect the country. Congress can take steps to protect the country. You know, look, those comments that the president made when only the interpreter and President Xi were in the room blessing the concentration camps of the Uyghurs, it's exactly why we want to know what he said to Putin when he's alone in the room with Putin, because he's dealing away our national security. He's dealing away the values of this country in secret in order to help himself. And that's just so destructive of everything that this country stands for.
And, of course, when he's talking about what the president had in a conversation, a private conversation with President Xi, where does he get that information? John Bolton and that book. When Jeff is honest, about that book and maybe using it in some way, Schiff said basically, after Bolton had appeared on an interview, where Bolton had said, "I think the House Democrats built a cliff. They threw themselves off it. Halfway down, they looked up and saw me and said, hey, why don't you come along? In other words, you want to use my book, right?" And Adam Schiff's response after Bolton made those remarks, Bolton was pressed on why he didn't come forward and testify instead of saving it for a book. Bolton insisted it wasn't about the cash. What a quote Dale Bumpers during a different impeachment. When you hear somebody say, this is not about money, it's about money. And yet still he believes that Trump was putting national interest ahead of the country's interest. That's Adam Schiff's opinion, and he does it again, adding some of his bases for the John Bolton book.
We warned during the trial that you could only count on Donald Trump to do what's right for him, not what's right for the country. And John Bolton says that is exactly this president's pattern and practice, that he didn't see a significant national security or foreign policy decision made on any other basis than the president's personal or political reelection interest. And, of course, that's a tragic and dangerous situation for the whole country when a president has that kind of myopic focus on what's right for him, and is willing to sacrifice the national interest.
Did anyone ever question Obama about such an interest when he was running for re-election, some of the decisions he made? I'm just asking, did anyone? No, I don't think so, Larry. I don't remember anyone really asking any tough questions of Obama. Bolton had said and admitted in the past that he would more than be willing to make some statements, but he had also admitted, Bolton himself had admitted, he would be more than willing to lie if he felt it was in the nation's best interest. In a Fox Business interview in 2010, John Bolton said, "If I had to say something I knew was false to protect American national security, I would do it." So what is he doing this time around? Well, for one thing, he's making money. Just that, to that extent, you got to give Adam Schiff credit. He's in it to make the money. And the mainstream leftists, in addition to Adam Schiff raising that question, are doing the same thing as far as commenting and attacking Bolton on that point. Let me give you a couple examples, both from MSNBC. First, you're going to hear Lawrence O'Donnell. Then you're going to hear from MSNBC, Chris Hayes. Listen to their attack on John Bolton and what he has done with this book and why he's doing it all in the book and not before members of Congress under oath.
Every bit of Donald Trump's disgrace in office is now also John Bolton's disgrace, because by refusing to testify to the impeachment inquiry, John Bolton violated his oath of office to support and defend the Constitution.
John Bolton could spend the rest of his life like Lady Macbeth trying to wash the blood off his hands, and it would be there still. And now Bolton is attempting to literally cash in on betrayal of his country.
Betrayal of his country? And yet they're going to use him as maybe prima facie evidence that the president has been trying to destroy the country. And then the process is only interested in his re-election, nothing to do with the welfare of the American people. So for all of you who got jobs before the virus hit, for all of you who were unemployed and suddenly got jobs, for all of you who saw your 401ks begin to rocket and go forward, for all of you who had companies that suddenly you had a lot of business and you could hire more people and make more people available to have paychecks, and for the black community who was in the throes of despair and suddenly saw black unemployment fall to the record level lows before the virus, for all of those, for all of you who benefited from that, did Trump do things just for himself or for the country and help you and your family and capital enterprise and entrepreneurship? And if it hadn't been for the virus, we'd still be charging forward. And we will get back there. It's going to take a little while. And because, unfortunately, some of the businesses that had to fold during the virus will never reopen again. They won't. They couldn't stand the heat. They're out of it. They lost everything. But we will get back. And the leftists want to see you suffer as long as possible. And they're still looking for a way to use the John Bolton book as another weapon against Donald Trump and maybe get him impeached again, and this time convicted. Take a break. When we come back, I want you to hear directly from John Bolton on some of his comments and response from the White House Press Secretary, Kayla McEnany, because you want to hear her response as well. It's coming up. And don't forget Fred Flights before we finish this hour, who worked under John Bolton, good friend of him. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The biggest fear I have is that his policy making is so incoherent, so unfocused, so unstructured, so wrapped around his own personal political fortunes, that mistakes are being made that will have grave consequences for the national security of the United States. I think it's important that the American people have these facts as they consider what to do in November and as we look at our history and see Trump for what I hope history will record it to be, an aberration.
In other words, I hope he will only be a one-term president, the words of John Bolton. Of course, in advance of his book coming out, The Room Where It Happened, almost 600 pages, cost you $29.95, although the other day I gave you some highlights from it that didn't really show anything when you get down to it, nothing backed up, nothing substantiated, just Bolton's remarks, not under oath, obviously, not being cross-examined, but still the Democrats are planning on using it to some extent, but Bolton's already made it clear he thinks the Democrats don't know what they're doing anyway. He said, I was in an interview with ABC the other day, he said, I was prepared. If I got a subpoena like everyone else who testified to get a subpoena, I would have shown up. But I think the House impeachment proceeding was badly wrong, impeachment malpractice. He said the Democrats were hasty because they didn't want to mess up the Democrat presidential nomination. And he said, I find the Democrats' conduct almost as bad and somewhat equivalent to Donald Trump. And who's he going to vote for this time around? John Bolton says, won't be Trump. It won't be Biden. Said, I'm going to try to write in some conservative Republican if I can find one. So what's the White House have to say about this? President Trump has already said and dismissed the John Bolton book. Kayla McEnany, appearing on Fox News, had this response.
John Bolton will be remembered as a failed national security advisor. He's a warmonger. He's someone who would have had us at war with North Korea and with Iran if it was up to him. The president brought him in to be a counterbalancing voice because the president appreciates alternative opinions. But ultimately, President Trump's gut leads the way. And thank goodness it was President Trump at the helm who was able to de-escalate tensions with those two countries because John Bolton was a complete and utter disaster.
So says the White House press secretary, obviously echoing the opinion from the Oval Office. Before John Bolton was appointed to serve as the national security advisor for President Trump, from April 2018 to September 2019, K.T. McFarland was the first deputy national security advisor. She had this comment in a piece she wrote for Fox News. On election day 2016, I was in the green room at Fox News in Midtown Manhattan waiting to go on the air, as was Ambassador John Bolton. I asked John if he'd already voted, to which he replied, yes, for Trump. He's an idiot, but anybody is better than Hillary Clinton. He's an idiot. That's what she quoted him saying. She said, that's why I had my doubts when Bolton lobbied so aggressively for and became Trump's national security advisor less than 2 years later. I figured it would be a rocky ride for them both and predicted it wouldn't end well. And she said, from the very beginning, they clashed not just over policy, but style and temperament. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll be joined by Fred Flights, currently President, CEO, Center for Security Policy, who worked under Bolton.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
I taught her among those level with the ground. I taught her among those level with the ground.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the book by John Bolton, The Room Where It Happened, coming out to be released, I believe, tomorrow. And our guest, Fred Flights, currently the president and CEO of the Center for Security Policy, and also worked under Bolton, campaigned for him various times to get various positions. Fred, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Hey, good to be here, Larry.
Let me ask, first of all, have you seen the entire book, read the entire book yourself yet?
No, I haven't. I've just been reading press reports, but there's been so many leaks, I think we all know what the major parts are.
Yeah, and I looked at what CNN did the other day, and if anybody's going to find something really damning in there, I think they would have had it. Now, it kind of fell short, I thought. What's your overall impression of what you have heard so far?
Well, I think the most important part of the book is what Bolton says was the turning point for him concerning the president. And this wasn't Ukraine or China or Russia. It was when the president decided last June not to bomb Iran in response to the downing of a U.S. unarmed drone. Now, Bolton says in the book, apparently, that Trump has no principles. Everything he does is to get reelected. This is a pretty principled thing to do. We thought it was disproportionate to kill 100 to 200 Iranians in exchange for shooting down an unarmed drone. And I think it showed leadership because Trump had a bus of all his national security advisors who wanted him to do this.
Now, in that remark, of course, and I know you appeared the other day, last Thursday, I believe, on Fox with Martha McCallum, I didn't get a chance to see all of the interview, but some of those remarks like that coming from you, you've been a longtime friend and aide and ally of John Bolton.
Yes, and I said before the book came out, before we knew about the book, like late last year, I'm sure it's going to wait until the president leaves office. And then in January, it turned out it was going to come out first May and then in June. And I said in January, look, just can't, a national security advisor can't publish a book like this while the president he served is still in office. He's revealing too much internal information, how decisions are made. He's violated the trust of the president.
Has he violated national security, any treasonous material being released? I shouldn't say treason, but material that should have been kept under wrap at this time.
Well, I don't know that he violated security regulations. I'm not the one to judge that. But there was a report today that the South Korean government is pretty upset that confidential discussions that they had with our government have been revealed in this book. And South Korean officials say this is going to make it harder to get a peace deal with North Korea. Now, maybe we'll never get one, but, you know, you can't reveal stuff like this. You know, maybe it's not officially classified, but certainly it's sensitive.
I want to get into the details as we know them from the book, but before I go any farther, your relationship with John Bolton now, have you had conversations with him since all of this happened?
I haven't been in touch with him since January.
Okay. And, of course, we should point out, folks, that he did serve, Fred did serve with John Bolton while he was serving as the National Security Advisor. And you left, I think, the month after that Bolton left. Is that right? He was in April 2018 and then left in September, and you left the following month. Is that right?
No, I left at the end of October 2018.
2018, that's right.
I thought that he was there until September 2019.
Right, okay, that's right. I thought you'd left prior to that, and I kept looking at this, and I thought I'm misreading something, but the date was wrong on the year. I thought so. So some of the remarks, as you just said, that some of the remarks he said were going to hurt the president during election, possibly, and Bolton is saying that everything Trump has been doing was to win re-election. I raised the question earlier, quite honestly, what politician doesn't do that to some extent?
I mean, that's right. I mean, the president was trying to strike a good trade deal with the Chinese. Is that going to win him votes with farmers in the Midwest? Yeah, probably. But it also was the right thing to do. And I don't see why it's worth quibbling over why we're trying to get a good trade deal. Because, you know, people in the Midwest are voters. And they don't deserve to suffer because of predatory trade by China.
And, of course, you had in a tweet you put out the other day that that Bolton just couldn't figure out how to work with Trump on any of these issues. And that was something I was reading earlier from KT McFarland. She said when it was being announced that she was in the green room on election day with John Bolton, she asked him, who did you vote for? He said, I voted for Trump. He's an idiot, but better than Hillary Clinton. KT McFarland, of course, who became the first national security advisor for President Trump, said she knew right then this was not going to end well.
I don't know that Bolton said that. I talked to him on election night, too. I can't imagine he said something like that. I think KT's thinking of someone else. But when it comes to being able to work with this president, Mike Pompeo and John Bolton have very similar national security views. They knew what they were getting themselves into, a man who had never had a government job, didn't have a lot of national security experience, was a real estate wheeler and dealer from New York. They knew this was going to be a very different experience, and Pompeo figured out how to work with Mr. Trump, how to get his policies done, how to give him advice. John Bolton never figured that out.
You're listening to Fred Flights, currently the president and CEO of the Center for Security Policy. Fred has been in U.S. government national security positions for two dozen years, CIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, Department of State. And Fred, as I had mentioned earlier, at one time I remember having you on the air, and you were really pushing at that point for Bolton to become Secretary of State.
I sure was. I've known him a long time. I've known him over 30 years. I was chief of staff when he was Undersecretary for Arms Control in the second Bush administration. And I thought he was a great choice to be National Security Advisor, and he's a brilliant guy, and I wish it had worked out.
Now that,
he and the president agree on many things.
And that was early in the Trump campaign, after being elected. So a lot of things probably about Trump's desire and approach might not have been known to many of us. But you knew Bolton's temperament and his approach, and at that time you thought it would still be a cohesive unit.
Well, I mean, if you look at what he wrote about North Korea, it's pages and pages of complaining about the president's desire to get a deal with Kim Jong-un. And there's legitimate reasons to express concern about that. I get it. I mean, Kim Jong-un is a ruthless killer. But Trump tried something unconventional because nothing else worked. And there's been some benefits from that deal. I'm not saying the North Koreans have done nearly what they were supposed to. Tensions are lower. There haven't been any nuclear tests since 2017. They tested some short-range missiles last year, but the huge number of long-range missile tests have been halted, at least temporarily. So the president has achieved something, and Bolton doesn't give him any credit.
One of the pieces apparently coming from the book excerpts that we picked up already, The Room Where It Happened, Bolton describes a 2017 meeting between him and Trump where they discussed Israel. And Bolton says that Trump approved Israeli strikes against Iran. In fact, said, you tell Bibi, this is what Bolton writes, if it's correctly quoted, you tell Bibi Netanyahu, if he uses force, I will back him. I told him that, but you tell him it again. He said, Trump said that unprompted by me. That's pretty direct language, which I think Bolton had also said he had been not allowed to quote the president directly because of some conflict and verification issue. What's your take on something like that? I mean, that again, that's a discussion that apparently took place between the president and the leader of Israel that Bolton put out.
Well, I'm not familiar with this particular quote, but it is simply one of a long list of internal policy discussions that should not have been revealed, at least not until this president left office. He says he reveals the president's views of a variety of foreign leaders. That was completely unnecessary. And, you know, it's not just going to undermine the willingness of a president to trust his advisors, but it's going to make it harder for foreign countries to trust the president in international dealings if their advisors are going to run off and write a book before this president leaves office.
And Bolton has already said that the Democrats are in many ways just as bad as Trump, and says they went about the impeachment improperly. But already, Congressman Adam Schiff and even Jerry Nadler are saying, you know, this Bolton book, this might give us new ammunition to once again move forward with impeachment.
Yeah, I watched this interview last night. But consider this, Larry. He gave some pretty odd answers to questions about why didn't you testify for the Democrats? And what I see here is that John is trying to bring about regime change without thinking about the consequences. He's trying to help Trump lose. And who's going to replace him? And it's almost like what we did in Iraq. We wanted to get rid of Saddam, but we didn't think about who would follow him. Biden will be a catastrophe if he enters the White House. And Bolton's book apparently is intended to help that happen. And he hasn't thought it through.
He did think through that when it comes to the election, he's not going to vote for Biden or Trump, and I'm going to try to write in conservative Republican. But one last question. With Bolton doing that and the Democrats looking to use him, basically, this is a very hard question. How do you characterize your relationship with John and belief and support for him at this time going forward?
Well, I don't have a relationship with him right now. I wish him well. You know, we've been friends for a long time, and I didn't want to speak out, but I think this book is bad for the country. I think it's bad for the office of the presidency, and that's why I urged him in January to withdraw it, at least until after the election. But frankly, a book like this, I didn't know it would have such an enormous dump of details, internal details in policymaking. This book should never have been published until Mr. Trump left office.
And one final yes or no. Bolton doing it simply for the money and held material back, but the book?
I can't imagine it's for the money, but I don't know why he wrote the book.
All right. I want to thank you very much for a very candid conversation with us, Fred. I always appreciate it, sir.
Good to be here. Thanks, Larry.
We'll do it again. Fred Flights had served under Bolton, been a big friend and supporter. Sometimes friendships get strained as you go through life. Got something you don't want to miss coming up.
Baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on.
size of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel your joy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm going to take my best stab at a story that just broke. It's very complicated, legal. I'm not an attorney. Don't even try to play one. But the reason I'm going to focus on this, because I think that it's got legs to it. We're going to see more on it. It involves Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and going against the U.S. Supreme Court on a ruling. Now, again, something like this can get very complicated. I don't want to lose you in the weeds. It just broke. I'll probably try to get somebody on tomorrow to get more detail for it. But let me try to break it down in bits and pieces. It's kind of like an elephant. We're going to eat it a bite at a time, and I hope I don't lose you in the process, or lose myself for that matter. There's a case that was ruled in 2003, Virginia v. Black. And Justice Thomas cites that case where a court held in 2003 that a state may ban cross-burning meant to intimidate, but it could not in law assume all cross-burning is meant to intimidate. Just stop and think about it. We would think if you're burning a cross on somebody's lawn, it's meant to intimidate. But if you're doing it maybe out on your land that you own or something, and I'm just giving you an example. I'm not saying that's the case. If you have it on your land and doing it on your own land and you burn a cross, is that meant to intimidate? Whether or not others see it, it comes video. So what they're looking at is a case that came out of Kansas and also another case, but let's just deal with the Kansas case for a moment. Kansas Supreme Court ruling on a case where a man got upset one night because someone shot his daughter's dog and police were not investigating. He went into a convenience store where he knew the employee was the son of a police officer and apparently told that employee, there's some people who are going to find themselves dead in a ditch somewhere. In fact, when he found the officer's son, he said, you're the man I'm looking for. And said, some are going to end up in a ditch somewhere if they don't go out and investigate the shooting of this dog, my dog. So the kid said, I thought I was going to end up finding my dad dead in a ditch. The man was then charged and convicted on one count of reckless criminal threat, despite denying he wanted to threaten the officer's son or the officer. He was convicted on it. Well, the Kansas Supreme Court overturned that decision, saying the law's provision against threats made in reckless disregard was overbroad, did not rise to the true threat level standard used in free speech cases. And then it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. As the state of Kansas asked the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the Kansas Supreme Court and have its original conviction stand. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court decided to not deal with the case. Justice Thomas says that, in my view, the Constitution likely permits states to criminalize threats even in the absence of any intent to intimidate. Like I said, this is a really complicated thing. It basically comes down to that he believes that the Supreme Court should have taken the opposing action, actually got involved and dealt with the case. I probably have not done the best job of trying to lay it out for you, but you can watch for more developments on it. Justice Thomas does say 16 states and D.C. already have challenges to laws like Kansas. The court needs to nip this issue in the bud before there are conflicting interpretations of First Amendment all over the country. And that's going to be the key at that point, is to where it's going to go. But again, the Supreme Court decided not even going to hear the appeal. And Justice Thomas said we should have at least heard the appeal and make a ruling on it. Did this reach the level of violation of free speech, or is it protected by free speech? Well, in Seattle, of course, they are having a summer of love that continues, right? Summer of love punctuated by gunshots, death, and injuries. You remember the mayor of Seattle telling CNN's Chris Cuomo about this takeover, as they were calling it then, CHAZ, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, where cops were not going to be allowed. Then later changing it to the name of CHOP. She told them then, it's just, you know, it's kind of like a street festival. We have them all the time. No big deal. And it's just going to be maybe a summer of love. You think she wants to take those remarks back now? How do you think her remarks stand against President Trump saying, we can't have anarchists taking over our cities? You got to do something about it. We're going to get into that in the next hour. And also, should we continue tearing down any Confederate monument or any monument someone is offended by? Any monument. If some are offended by a Martin Luther King monument, should that be torn down because they're offended? We know Arthur Ashe Memorial the other day got spray painted with White Lives Matter. I didn't like that one bit, but there are black Americans who say we should not be tearing down this history, even if it's Confederate history. And one of those saying that is a lawyer representing the George Floyd family. That and more all coming up in the second hour. Please stay with us.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.